What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 4 of the officially titled Last Pod Standing. I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my right, as always, Tyler Mitchell.
How's it going? I'm sure you're all glad we finally named the podcast, although you will all have known that it's been named by now if you are
following the podcast. Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. It's only like to us that it's finally officially named. You guys have already known about this for like 3 weeks. Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed the episode last week. I really hope you enjoyed that sweet, sweet outro music that I played a little bit of for you guys, because, yeah, that was certainly a doozy from that mall sequence from last week.
Generic dance music. It's the best type of music to generically dance to.
But that stuff, generically. The thing is, it's like, that wasn't even danceable. It really wasn't danceable.
It was electronic dance music, sir.
Whatever you say. So this week, we're getting into episode 4 of season 1, entitled Last Halloween Standing, our second out of 4 episodes that's had that title format. And guys, it's not going away for a little bit, let me tell you that. So this episode originally aired on October 25th, 2011, and if you couldn't guess from the title, it's our Halloween-themed episode. So let's just dive right in.
I'd like to state that everyone knows that this was the last Halloween, October of 2011.
Yes, as we discussed before the episode started, this episode actually signifies the final Halloween
ever
in existence. There has not been a Halloween in the past 5 years.
No.
There will not be a Halloween this year, 2017, the year of our Lord.
No.
We're done.
Until Tim Allen deems us worthy of another Halloween.
Until the cyclical time travel based show First Man Standing.
That was a terrible joke. We're gonna move on.
I liked it.
So this episode starts with Tim the Toolman Taylor and his daughter Eve in a Halloween store, and God only knows what story Tim Allen is weaving about Halloween being something about Constantine and Celtic people, and they were warding off the dead with spooky costumes. From what I've gathered, that's not even close to what Halloween
that's legitimately comes, not a thing. So I don't believe that's a thing.
We're just
at
gonna
all.
Let that slide. You know, they walk around, she's looking for a costume, she doesn't seem to be too into it.
Yeah, so keep in mind, like, remember Eve's the youngest daughter, but she's still like, she's hit that age, that teenager.
She's 13. Thank you very much.
And
eighth grade, about.
That's about the time, I don't know about you, but that was my last year of, like, going out trick-or-treating was 13, age 13.
I never was into trick-or-treating.
Well, yeah, you like Halloween even less than I do, and that's saying a lot because I don't really care for Halloween that much.
Well, here's the thing. I like scary movies and I like candy, so my Halloween consists of me staying indoors and watching scary movies while eating candy.
And, like, we hate people, so we inherently don't go out on Halloween, because, one, it's just whacked out as hell sometimes, depending on where you go.
As someone who suffers from different types of social anxieties, Halloween is not high up on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Trick-or-treating does not
I would just rather go buy, like, a giant bag of the, like, mixed bags of candy that's got like the Skittles and like Starburst. And
if
like,
you
want to
do Halloween right, wait until 2 or 3 days after Halloween, until all the candy is on sale. Grab a bunch of like sale candy from your local Walmart or Target or whatever, soon to be coming Amazon store, and just go to town.
And then buy another bag for like a dollar, and then freeze that shit so that
yes.
Next Halloween you can actually have the candy on Halloween instead of waiting till 2 or 3 days later like a chump.
Anyways, back to the episode.
Yeah.
Eve seems to be starting to outgrow Tim Allen in some ways, which is, you know, a little devastating to a father, I would assume.
Yeah.
But we get them going through different costumes, like a lady hobo or a lady ninja. We get to Hillary Clinton costume, and he says, is this some kind of joke, lady president? And then he sort of curtails it back by saying it could happen. So, like, he takes the joke where you think it's going to go and then sort of reels it back in a little bit, I guess.
Which is funny, being in 2017 and hearing that joke.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure that joke would have been different last October.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that this is all just setting up that Eve is not going to go trick-or-treating with Tim Allen.
Yeah, she's just really not into it. Yeah, it's really not... It's kind of like a long scene for what we really get out of it. It's really just setting up... It's setting up our story for the episode, which is
fine.
Yeah, Tim Allen wanting to relive the days of when he had little kids.
Yeah. So, we get back home. Everyone's going over their costumes and whatnot. Tim Allen comes in the door carrying something. We mm-hmm. don't know what it is yet, but we'll get there.
Yep.
Well, and there's Vanessa coming out in a pirate thing.
Somewhat revealing pirate costume.
And she's not wearing a lot.
Nope.
Typical, I guess you would call it a typical Halloween costume. It's like one of those, every year you see those articles written about how slutty women's costumes are and how it's an affront to society that women can only buy these costumes and such.
Right.
So, I mean, he even
makes a prostitute joke. Like, yeah. Like, looking at her costume, he basically says, well, usually you dress, like, more as a mom and less as a prostitute.
Right. And she talks about how she's always a goody-goody character, like Cinderella every year. And then he makes a very specific joke. He makes a Margaret Thatcher joke.
Yeah.
Which, I didn't think it was a bad joke. I mean, she was a very controversial person, and she was... The Iron Lady was her nickname, so she wouldn't characterize her as a goody-goody character. But it's also a very specific, you need to know things about Margaret Thatcher joke. And maybe that plays well to an older audience.
Yeah, I guess. And then the punchline to that joke is that Vanessa goes, I didn't dress up last year.
Yeah. And he says, let me finish. And then we get more. We move on. That's kind of all we're going through. He's going through that. That's not a costume that you normally wear. You should wear that to our anniversary weekend. And he's
right.
And he's like, yeah, let's do that. Then we get our favorite character, Mandy.
Mandy Baxter.
Everyone's favorite Mandy. Coming down the stairs, wanting to know where her costume is. And we discover that, of course, Mandy wants to wear a slutty cat.
A fur-lined bikini with cat ears.
The mean girls would be proud.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of getting her that, he has picked up what I can only describe as a comically oversized Garfield costume.
It's like a legitimate, like, mascot Garfield costume.
Yes, that I'm sure is an expensive purchase.
Yes, definitely.
If he's buying that for his daughter as a gag or anything, that's an expensive gag.
Yeah, he goes on to say later in the episode
that he just
put a deposit down on it. So right. It's like he rented it, but still, that's an expensive way to tell your daughter she can't dress like a slut during Halloween.
But I do have to say, later in the episode, when she comes down with the Garfield head on, just the giant Garfield head, that was awesome. It worked
for
me.
That made me laugh hysterically. That was my favorite. That's been my favorite Mandy bit through four episodes.
They also didn't show the head up until that point on purpose.
Everyone really knew
it was a Garfield head that was coming, but you didn't know what it was going to look like, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
So after this, we find out that Santa Claus bought a skeleton costume for Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to take him trick-or-treating. And Kristen is very much against this.
She calls it, she's basically saying he's too young for all this pagan death imagery that is associated with Halloween. Because Kristen's going to be at work so that she can make extra tips, because they say that she can make, so like she wouldn't be taking him trick-or-treating. So it would be Buzz Lightyear taking Boyd trick-or-treating, and Kristen is not about that at all.
And it's weird. Like, I feel like the correct line there would have been, it's too scary for a two-year-old to go out there.
Sure.
Like, he would be too afraid of all of the people in costumes, and he wouldn't understand. That's something that would make sense, I guess. I wouldn't agree with it. But it would make more sense than him being too young for pagan imagery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a setup. The pagan imagery is a setup to the joke about him. He starts the episode talking about pagan imagery, and he's like, well, that's the stuff that sunk in, not the birth control. Like, it's a setup to a punchline. But it takes away from the actual setup of what's going to happen for the rest of the show.
This Kristen's part of this storyline is really interesting, especially knowing where the character goes down the road seasons to come, because this feels a lot of these early episodes try to, like, I feel like there's small moments that try to set up Kristen as a very, like, forward, like, sort of like forward thinking, like, kind of like almost one of these, like, hippie style, like, millennials that
a progressive.
Yeah. And a lot of it just doesn't land. And I feel like this is a really sort of out of left field moment through, like, in the fourth episode.
They're four episodes in.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
It's just interesting. It doesn't quite land for me, but it sets up.
So, you know, Kristen doesn't want him going trick-or-treating, so what's going to happen, everyone?
Toolman is going to take him trick-or-treating.
You can't stop him. So, you know, we go through, we see Mandy come down the stairs in her giant head, and then we are off to the Outdoor Man store thing.
And we're in the midst of a vlog from Mr. Santa Claus.
Luckily, it's not an angry vlog. This is more of a Tim the Toolman Taylor-esque vlog, yeah, where he's all up in your face, making faces and
being
goofier. Like, we're selling things here. And he's got his good buddy, Gary, to teach you about guns. And Gary sure doesn't know how to be on camera.
Gary's a very camera-shy man. And like, I really found this moment to be funny.
It's an easy bit, but it's a bit that works. Because the dude is so committed to staring at the camera.
It's really good. I really like this bit a lot. I wish it wasn't so visual so we could have more to talk about with it, but it is. If you're watching along with us, then this is a great moment.
You know, we go off past that, and eventually Tim Allen makes his way into Hector Elizondo's office, and mm-hmm. they're arguing. I guess they're not really arguing. They're talking about how Boyd should be able to go out trick-or-treating, you know, it's good for someone, and blah, 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 blah. This is all just conjecture to set up that Tim Allen's going to take Boyd trick-or-treating. But the good part about this is that Hector Elizondo puts on the Monster Mash and starts to dance.
Yes.
And that's all you need to know, because it's fantastic.
I love this, because kind of like that moment we had in the pilot with Ed being like, oh, did you bring me anything? It kind of sets Ed up as, like, a little bit more of, like, a big kid.
He's a goofy dude.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
It sort of reverses a lot of the dynamic that they have, which is, like, Ed's sort of, like, the father figure, and Mike is sort of... Whoa, I'm sorry. Tim the Toolman is...
Who is Mike Baxter? Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Tim the Toolman is, like, the son. It kind of flips it in this scenario.
Yeah. We make it back. It's Halloween night. They're at home.
And then we hit our, I guess Mandy's kind of the C story, so we kind of hit our B story here, which is a very, a neighbor brings his daughter to trick or treat.
Bill. Neighbor Bill.
And Vanessa in her sexy pirate costume comes to the door, and Bill proceeds to gawk over her with his daughter standing right in front of her. And it's very awkward and made me feel very awkward.
Yes, and it does not get less awkward as time goes on.
No.
When he comes back, it will get only more awkward and still not funny.
This is not funny, even remotely, I wouldn't say. But Mandy's
coming down full on Garfield, looking fantastic.
And I'm obsessed with her wearing the Garfield costume. Like, it's my favorite.
Eve has a great line about her floating over Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yep.
Which really got me. I thought that was great. And, you know, she goes off to have her party, and I'm sure she's just going to keep that Garfield outfit on with no repercussions. Nothing's going to change. We're going to be fine.
Because if there's anything we've learned about Mandy, it's that she listens and obeys what her parents say.
Or is intelligent enough to change back into the costume before coming back home.
Or, like, you know, just wearing the other costume underneath in the giant Garfield suit.
Yeah, she has the brains for that. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, Tim Allen comes back dressed as a military man. Apparently, he is a John Wayne character.
Oh, yeah, from The Longest Day.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that movie. I don't.
I like that Vanessa just guessed a whole bunch of different John Wayne characters.
Right.
So, good for her. And we get that he is going to take Boyd out.
And Boyd is dressed Senior in Bones. His skeleton costume.
Senior Bones.
And it's pretty adorable, admittedly.
Yes. You know, he keeps saying, I'm not going to take him out. And eventually he gets an excuse that he's going to go out.
Yep.
And he goes out. And he's pushing Boyd in a stroller. Boyd has a mask on. And they pass a child who is dressed as none other than Buzz Lightyear himself.
Yep.
And you gotta leave it to Buzz Lightyear to comment about a Buzz Lightyear costume in a show starring Buzz Lightyear.
Absolutely.
He says, those are the wrong wings.
Yeah. Yep. So, if you're keeping count, which is a thing that I'm going to do, we have, through four episodes, two Home Improvement jokes and two Toy Story jokes.
So we are averaging a Tim Allen reference
per episode.
So we pull up to a house, and it's none other than Ed's house. Hector Elizondo is dressed as a vampire, really excited to see Tim Allen and Boyd out. And then I have to talk about something here that is really bothering me about these outdoor scenes, okay. Is that they switch to handheld.
And it's shaky.
I mean, it's handheld camera.
Yeah.
And this is a straight up multicam sitcom. So for me, watching this was jarring, where it was like I was watching a different show.
It's so interesting. And this will be a theme, common theme of us that we'll talk about, because this happens a lot. And it's really weird when it happens.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You need to, unless
you're doing a themed episode based around it. That's different. I mean, think of it like when Boy Meets World did their Disney World episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from being on a soundstage to being at Disney World. And it looked completely different. Obviously, it's going to. But you kind of accepted it for the whole episode. They were at Disney World.
Or even like when Parks and Rec went to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
You know, this we end up getting a joke that Ed he's put a lot more work into his yard work for Halloween this year. He's got a lot of decorations out that he was showing off for his new lady friend. We get Elvira. Elvira.
Literally Elvira, Miss Cassandra Peterson.
Is in this episode.
Yeah.
For a 10-second bit.
And it's
distracting
fine.
And weird.
And really, really...
But not bad, no. Just weird.
I like the joke, though, that like she goes back, she says she's going to, like, she gets introduced to Santa Claus and then goes back in to make Bloody Marys. And Tim Allen goes, oh, so she really goes out all out for Halloween because she is dressed as Elvira in this. And Ed just looks at him deadpan and goes, she has no idea it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
We go back at home. Eve is, you know, grumping around, reading the infamous and world-renowned soccer magazine.
Yes.
I read it every week, mm-hmm. every month. I go to soccermagazine.com and read Soccer Magazine. I just thought it was funny that their generic magazine is just called Soccer. But she's grumping around because it turns out her little boy toy, Victor Blake, is not into trick-or-treating. He thinks it's for... babies, essentially. And this is another thing where we get Eve changing who she is, it seems like at first, for a boy. And
yes.
Again, she's 13, so I'm being a little harsh.
But it harkens back to what we talked about last week with the coffee scene and everything like that.
Yeah.
So
she says she wants him to see her as a woman. And Vanessa's like, you're in the eighth grade. But that'll resolve itself later.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Then Bill comes back
and it's still not funny.
It's not funny.
We need to
Yeah. And like he asks if he makes some dumb excuse like, did I leave my keys here? Like, no, yeah, Bill, okay. They're in your hand.
We don't want to talk about Bill. Bill's the worst.
Bill's the worst.
So Tim Allen returns with Boyd. Boyd.
Nope.
In a mask. And of course, when I saw Boyd wearing a mask earlier in the episode, I was like, that's not Boyd. They would be showing Boyd. He did not have a mask on earlier.
Exactly.
I don't know why we're doing this, but we are. And they set it up so that Tim Allen lost Boyd. Because of course he did. This is a sitcom. We need conflict. He lost Boyd, and Boyd was replaced by the Wong kid, Jimmy Wong.
And they make a really bad joke here, which...
Of course he's the Wong kid.
Yeah, so Eve says, upon seeing him, oh, that's the Wong kid. And Tim Allen goes, well, yeah, of course it's the wrong kid. But he says Wong kid. Because, you know, that's funny. It's not. It's actually not really funny at all.
So, yeah.
And can we talk about the peculiar thing is that there's no setup for this joke. There's no setup for this sequence. It's not like we see a situation where there are multiple skeletons in the same area.
And they don't even resolve how they got switched.
No, that's my point. Like, there's no setup for... It's just all of a sudden, Tim Allen just doesn't have his grandson.
Yep.
And he has an Asian child instead. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But they were wearing masks. How could they possibly know?
In what scenario does Tim the Toolman Taylor let a 2.5-year-old wander off where there are multiple other people around where something like this could actually happen? It does.
In what scenario does Tim the Toolman Taylor kill Santa Claus and become Santa Claus? I'm not saying that it is likely, but it could happen.
Fair enough. Okay? I just don't understand why we wouldn't see any setup for it. That's all.
Yep. And we get a scene that isn't really funny of the Wong family arguing with Boyd.
Yep.
Eventually, the Wongs are going to bring Boyd back, blah, 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 blah. This is all set up for the confrontation that Tim Allen's going to have with Kristen.
Yep.
When he is told that he thinks Kristen is pulling in the back, he makes a good joke. He yells, everything is going to be fine. And they're like, what are you talking about? He says, I'm practicing. Like,
yes.
It's pretty good. We get Mandy, who comes back in basically a trench coat, trying to sneak up the stairs.
Yep.
Because she's not very bright, and she has turned the expensive and gaudy Garfield costume into a bikini. Because yep. Mandy.
A bikini, like, skirt combo type thing, which, like, kind of very impressive to do that, probably, presumably, in a car.
No, she said she did it. She ditched it behind the...
Yeah, but, like, she cut parts of it out. So, like, she had to do some work, which is pretty impressive, I guess. Yeah, and stupid, but impressive.
I mean, it's not like she had a whole team of artists to help her do it offset.
Didn't. She didn't.
But anyways, you know, that's the end of that joke. He put a deposit on the head. The head's gone.
Yep.
Oh, well. We get the confrontation between Kristen and Tim Allen. He's asking for a joke to distract her. The chef wore a flammable costume.
Yada, which is yada, yada. Funny.
That's great. And then, you know, we get the actual conflict.
Now, can we talk about something really quick, though?
Go for it.
That made me very upset.
Go for it.
There's a knock at the door, and a kid dressed in a police officer's costume is there, and we come to find out it's Eve's new friend slash boyfriend, Victor Blake.
Victor Blake?
So we have seen Victor Blake, but we have not seen Travis, Mandy's boyfriend.
I don't want to see Travis.
I don't want to see Victor Blake.
But Victor Blake...
Blake is trying to change sweet, innocent, cool Eve.
Well, he comes and apologizes.
He does.
And he's also a soccer player, so I'm already on board with Victor Blake. I am not on board with Travis.
But, all right, anyway.
Although, I do have to say, it is the most sitcom-y of sitcom things to, in the middle of this situation, they have a what I would characterize as a very tall ninth grader dressed as a police officer.
Right.
Coming up in this situation where they have swapped kids and
right.
I can explain, and it turns out it's Victor Blake. Because it reminds me of a John Mulaney joke. This very tall child. This dude looks like a very tall
He's
child.
A very tall child. He's a very tall 15-year-old boy.
Yeah. And, you know, Eve goes out with him because he apologizes. And, you know, Kristen and Tim Allen have a heart-to-heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go trick-or-treating with both of you. And it's a boy's first Halloween. I really wish I could have gone with him. Tim Allen says it's not that late. Here's what we need to have a discussion here.
Sure.
So I work and have worked at multiple elementary schools. I work in a middle school. There are curfews for trick-or-treating. I don't know what they are in Denver. I don't even know what they are for most of Indianapolis. But where we live, it was from 5 until 7.
Yeah.
And that's when you
Sounds
had to be
right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time it is in the show, but he says, let's go out. Let's go back out. It's not that late. Let's go trick-or-treating.
What we do know is that it's clearly dark, dark out. Like, yes. It's not like dusk. It's dark out. So
I don't know if they don't have those there.
But it
was
entirely
weird
possible
to me.
And this was also 6 years ago, so I don't know how curfews have changed.
That's true.
This
could have not been a thing back then. Yeah. It just sat weird with me then.
Right.
And
so we get the kid exchange between the Wongs and the Baxters.
Which is awkward. Because they're arguing over who took whose grandson?
Essentially, yeah. The men are arguing, and then sexy pirate Nancy Travis diffuses the situation just by
showing up in her pirate outfit.
And then Mr. Wong is taken, is so smitten with this new look of Kristen that he says all is forgiven, and then tries to hug grope her. And then the wife is like, nope. Like, Mrs. Wong is like, what? No. Because I'm standing right here with our child, and what are you doing, you creepy, creepy man?
It's a well-documented fact that men cannot handle themselves around a woman in base. Like, I don't even. She's wearing a corset in high boots.
Yeah, it's not like she didn't look like Mandy.
No,
like a scene ago. Like
what would have happened if Mandy opened the door? The boat all for all these
fainted.
People. Matt would have died, or Bill would have
died.
He would have had a heart attack and be like, oh my god. Like,
yeah,
it's weird. This whole
this
thing
is a
about
very
Vanessa being this sultry, I don't even know. She makes men lose their minds at the sight of her.
She makes middle-aged men lose their minds, yeah.
It's weird.
It's very weird and not, it's not funny, and it's kind of just creepy.
Yep. And, I mean, that's basically the end of this. Everything has been resolved. We do get Bill.
Our final like stinger is Bill singing a song he wrote about Vanessa, like serenading her from the doorstep. Vanessa opens the door in her robe and like without her makeup or whatever.
Sure, she's not wearing any makeup.
Yeah, she's
Come
totally
on.
Not wearing makeup.
She's got eyeliner and lipstick on.
I know. But presumably we're supposed to think that because she doesn't look exactly like she did before that she's ready for bed or whatever.
The amazing thing is she changed from her costume into a robe and he can like barely look at her. He has a disgusted look on his
yeah,
face.
Yeah, he does. And a look of disgust and disappointment. And
that's the joke.
That's the end.
And then at the very end, while we're getting our credits, is actually my favorite part of the episode. Not because of the dialogue or because of anything. I think it's kind of dumb dialogue that Tim Allen is trying to teach Boyd that the first law of hunting is you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure which of the two twins that plays Boyd was acting during this scene, which I guess we haven't said that Boyd is played by twins as babies and infants.
As pretty much every show that has a child under like 8 is, pretty much.
And they're trying to get him to eat. They go off in a choo-choo-choo. He like won't eat it. So Tim Allen puts the food in his mouth and eats it.
Mm-hmm.
And Boyd's reaction is just priceless.
It's so good.
Like, it's so visual, I can't tell you. You just need to, if you missed it, go back and watch it. It's great. Like, it's just one of those actual, that's a kid reacting like to someone eating his food.
It clearly wasn't a coerced reaction. Like, it was a legitimate reaction of a kid watching a grown adult eat this baby food.
And also, Tim Allen was clearly not enjoying the baby food he put in his mouth.
Definitely not.
But that's the episode.
Yeah, that's really it. I feel like it was kind of a tale of two halves of that episode. Like, I thought the first half was much better than the second half. Kind of, yeah. Once we got the Bill thing is sort of when it started going downhill a little bit for me.
I feel like last week I said that I enjoyed this episode better than the third episode.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking?
Upon reflecting, yeah. I feel like I was wrong. There were bits in this that really got me.
Yeah, I feel you.
The Garfield thing.
Yeah, that was funny. But I think overall as an episode last week, or the third episode, was better. It also had a better title. Not that that's hard to do.
No, it didn't. Last Halloween Standing is a great title of an episode.
I'm not doing this with you right now.
I mean, it's a lot of effort and thought went into that title, okay?
Sure. Whatever you say. Well, yeah, I mean, you got anything else?
I'm looking forward to next week when we watched what is sure to be a golden classic, co-ed softball.
I gotta tell you right now, I'm a fan of this next episode, episode 5 of season 1. Yeah, it's called Co-Ed Softball.
I have yet to watch it, so I cannot say if I'm a fan or not.
Well, I'm going to be interested to hear some of your thoughts on this particular subject matter, but we will get into that next week. For now, follow everything we're doing over on flyoverstate.org. And yeah, that's really it. We will talk to you guys next week.
Adios.